The following podcast is a B&E Network exclusive.
B-Movies and Ebooks. I'm Craig Wade.
And I'm Brian Allen Delaney.
And we got a pretty good show for you. We're going to be reviewing the brand new movie, We Are Still Here, and the book Just a Little Terrible by Vincent B. Cava. Also, yesterday we got a chance to check out the brand new Pixar film, Inside Out.
Yep.
So, just two grown men.
Yeah,
watching that kids movie. Movies. No, but in all fairness,
our wives were with us.
Yeah, and we were supposed to have one of our friends. They were supposed to bring their daughter, and you know, which would have allowed us access without looking like total creeps. Mm-hmm. But the film sold out. It sold out. No, the film sold out before they could come, and so we just sat there like four grown adults. Watching a kid's film, but
it was good.
I liked it. I thought it was like one of the smartest little kid movies I've seen in a long time.
It was so, very heady.
Like I wasn't really sure that content translated that well to children. Like, not that it's just super like, not that like I'm confused or anything about what happened in the movie, but it just wasn't really like a, you know, those movies are kind of basic in general. They have basic stories for the most part.
I don't know about the Disney Pixar ones and things. There's usually a good concept behind them. Like, yes. you never saw Brave, right? That one was about, you know, being self-reliant and things, right?
I'm not saying that they don't have morals, but, I mean, they're definitely on the upper echelon of kids' films and stuff. But as far as, like, you know,
like how to high follow concept. It.
Do what?
Yeah, like following a high concept like that.
Yeah, and so I didn't know if the kids would realize that these characters were in the heads of the kids and controlling their actions and stuff. And, you know, what kind of psychological ramifications this is going to leave on a child anyway. But, no, I just didn't know that it would translate that well. But it apparently, like, judging by the response in the theater we were at, like, everyone enjoyed it. Yeah, I thought it was really good.
Although the little kid next to me was like, I want to go home, like halfway through
this
the...
This is boring.
Like halfway through the openings, like, short.
Yeah, you want to talk about that or no?
Yeah.
Yeah,
It was about volcanoes falling in love or wanting to be in love or lava.
Yeah. Yeah. And had it ended a minute and a half earlier,
it would have been the most depressing thing that Pixar has ever done.
Yeah. We looked over at each other because we're sitting like our wives were sitting next to each other. So we're on opposite ends and we just look over at each other like, what in the hell is going on?
Because it just got more and more depressing as it went on, and then it just hit this point where it was just like Greek tragedy status, you know?
Yeah, so
it really was like a it was ridiculous.
But, yeah, it was a real downer had they not saved it in the very end, which I guess Pixar kind of does a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, they have a downer. Is there a Pixar film? I don't want to do this, but like, as far as go down the whole list, but I can't think of one off the top of my head that doesn't have like at least one point where it gets real downery,
like real dark.
Yeah, like it's like they're bracing our kids for you guys are gonna see some shit in life.
Monsters Inc.
I guess, yeah, Monsters, Inc. Yeah. I don't know. But that's like it, right? Probably. I didn't see Frozen or Brave. So was Tangled a Pixar? No.
I think Tangled was just Disney.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I didn't see any of those. But
wait, I don't know.
Did Frozen have a part in the middle that's like a downer?
Kind of near the end, whenever the prince had a heel turn and he was going to like kill, what's her name? Anna?
I don't know. Sure. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, this even Inside Out had a point where it was like, oh, yeah, they're going to do that.
I don't know. I thought it was really well done. It was original. Well, kind of. It was Herman's Head. But, you know, like, for a kid's movie and everything, I think it explained the concepts really well. You know, and it told you that it's okay to be sad every once in a while and stuff like that. So I think it was a good message.
Yeah, that was kind of the spoiler alert. Yeah, sadness is the takeaway. Sadness turns to be the hero.
I'm sure the Venn diagram of people who went to go see Inside Out and people who listen to this podcast doesn't overlap very much.
No, I would hope they would eventually watch it, because Pixar actually is putting out some of the best stuff consistently.
Yeah, I rewatched Brave like a couple of weeks ago because I really liked that one.
Yeah,
I mean, my wife was with me, it's not like I just.
I went to summer movie camp.
Oh God, are we going to talk about summer movie camp 2 weeks in a row?
I'm down all summer. If they just let us in the damn theater.
Yep.
First, well, they won't let me in Chuck E. Cheese now.
We should stop wearing trench coats.
Yeah. Yeah, and other than that... we got a lot of actually some really, really good news.
We actually have news this week.
Yeah, you want to lead it off?
No.
Okay, the B&E family is expanding. And yep. There's a... I don't know how y'all listen to us, or if you listen to us. But, well, I don't know how many people subscribe through our iTunes feed, but if you do that, and I guess we'll...
Stitcher.
Will Stitcher feed work the same?
Yeah, I'm gonna. There's gonna be a master feed for that too.
Yeah, so we're wanting to expand. You know, I realize that I'm into a lot more things than just B movies and ebooks, but that's what I'm the most passionate about, and so are you. And like our friends have a lot to say, and so we're going to actually have a network master feed that you could subscribe to instead of just this feed, and you can catch all of our podcasts, or you can just download ours, or you can just download theirs. But our sister show, our first one at least, will be coming this week, and it's going to be Long Box Small Talk. So that's one word, Long Box, and then Small Talk. And they're going to be, it's two good friends of ours, Bill Kirtner. I've known him, what, 10, 12 years? Yeah. Bill Curtains. No, I almost, I had to clear my throat in the middle of his name. Okay, anyway, Bill Kirtner and Rodney Heron, they're going to be talking a lot about comics and movies and stuff like that. And whereas sometimes ours talks about comics every once in a while, that's the main focus on theirs. You're a lot bigger of a comic book fan than I am. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll talk your ear off about Archie.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I don't know the inner workings of the last 20 years of comics and stuff. And Bill really does.
Yeah. We nerd out whenever we're around each other.
Yeah.
But no, it should be entertaining. You know, two funny guys, I guess. Two wild and crazy guys talking about comics and stuff. But that will be the first sister show in hopefully, you know, a list of shows that will be coming out soon.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil
that. That was poorly worded.
Yeah. That'll be the first one of some's. So- But no, yeah. I don't want to spoil anything. We may or may not have an intermittent Nicolas Cage only film show, which I'm excited about, but that won't probably be consistent. I mean, it probably won't be releasing stuff on a consistent basis.
Like the great man himself.
And then, yeah, if everything falls into place correctly, we may actually even get into the wild world of wrestling with one of our
Not us personally.
No, I know jack about wrestling. I don't know. Is Roddy Piper still in it? I have no clue. But some of our real good friends, they love wrestling, and really, we're shaping up to have just a really diverse feed on our B&E master feed, and so I think it's going to be really cool. And hell, who knows? I might listen to a few.
You might get real into wrestling.
Real into wrestling, real into comics. Like, I don't know. I it's a really exciting time for us here at B&E. Yeah. So, anyway. But yeah, you can check out Long Box Small Talk later this week. So,
And the master feed should be up later this week as well.
Yeah. So, search for those in your iTunes and Stitcher directories. Yeah. Let's say Friday at the latest.
It's B&D with an ampersand.
Yeah, so network. B ampersand E master feed, or what is it?
I think it's network master feed.
Okay. Yeah, so cool.
I think if you just search B&E network, it'll be fine.
Yeah, and that's going to be, you know, just like DVRing all of us. Yep. So, anyway. But again, you can do individually. Let's say if you don't want to hear wrestling, you can still, subscribe individually. So anyway, and definitely check out our website, but, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So
anything else? There's been a lot of new content on the website recently. So
yeah. Yeah. So pretty exciting stuff. Anyway, yeah, and since we've been so busy with that, with beefing our website up and stuff lately, I haven't been able to pay attention to a lot of things that I haven't reviewed either for the podcast or the website. So, has there been anything you've seen for the past week?
No.
So anyway, yeah, I guess we'll be back with our review for We Are Still Here.
Plants are brown, sky is red, everyone we know is dead, and I'm happy for them, 'cause we're still here. You're still alive, and so am I, the world belongs to us now, except for those who lost their minds, they're still out there. But so what? I haven't seen them in a while. Don't lose hope, just give me one more smile, 'cause I'm still here. So how will you do shrooms with me? No one here to judge you as far as I can see, and the government can't do shit about it. Pick your favorite car, we'll take the keys and drive it far, and then make love in the back seat while we're still live. It'll be fun, you know we'll have a good time until the earth.
Alright, welcome back to B-Movies and E-Books. That was Still Here by Harley Poe. You should check them out. They're a really, really cool band, and they put out really good horror based music and
inspired.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if it's inspired, because it's all straight up horror stories. But yeah, they're really, really cool band. Check them out. Anyway, the movie We're Still Here is what we're going to be covering in this portion.
Okay. So how do you say this director's name?
I don't know.
'Cause we're going to butcher it.
Give me your best shot.
Oh, I have no idea. Ted, is that right?
Yeah, this movie's by Ted.
Ted Geoghegan?
Googon?
Maybe. Googon?
I don't think that's his name. Who cares? It's Ted Googon. No, it doesn't matter. I mean, like,
he's probably never going to hear it.
Well, yeah, and it's going to be, you know, I'm sure we won't be the first person to butcher that name.
Geoghegan? I don't know. All right. Anyway, so we are still here. Do you want to take the synopsis or do you want me to do it?
You can do it.
You always thrust the synopsis on me.
Yep.
Okay. So a couple moves into a house, mm-hmm. right? Which may or may not be haunted,
mm-hmm.
Or has a history.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's about it.
Yeah, I agree with that synopsis. Pretty succinct and good. Yeah, it's a really, really odd movie.
So how did you feel about it?
It's a ghost story, but it's also kind of a slasher film in ways. Brian, are you there? We lost you.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay. All right, yeah.
So let's just go from me asking how you feel about it.
Okay, well, I didn't hear any of that.
Oh.
I just said that, you know, it's a ghost film, but it's also kind of a slasher film in ways. So it's kind of an odd movie. Do you want me to tell you how I felt about it off the top, or do you want to go as we go?
I kind of want to know how you felt about it, because I have an idea of how you probably felt about it.
I have an idea of how you felt about it.
Okay. On three, let's tell each other our ideas.
Okay. No, I really, really liked it, but I don't think it's for everyone. Like, okay. I liked it like 3.5, probably 4 out of 5 liked it. Like
me too.
Huh?
Me too.
Okay. Did you think I was not going to like it?
I did.
And I thought you were going to hate it.
Really?
Absolutely hate it. Yep. Oh, okay, cool. Oh, cool, man. We're like buddies.
We don't know anything about each other.
No, yeah.
I figured it would have been too slow for you.
No, dude, have you seen a lot of the? No, like some of the stuff I've thrown over on the site, like the canal, or you know, just a lot of Ty West stuff, like kills this in slow pacing. Yeah. Kelsey didn't really dig it, but I liked it a lot. It was, I will say, okay. It was made on a lower budget, and it shows.
Here's what I thought about it.
Okay. That's good.
If I was to give like a tagline to it, you know, or not tagline or whatever, but like a 3-word description
mm-hmm.
of what I think of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Ready? Low budget Shining.
The Shining. Really?
Yeah. That's what I thought. Okay. Because there was a lot of like shots.
Well, right, yeah. Like the very opening shot reminded me of The Shining with just the car driving across the snowy landscape.
So much. There was like a lot of the way it was shot reminded me of it. Right.
Uh-huh.
And then the fact that it was, you know, made, well, it was released this year. I don't know when it was actually released.
Yeah. It was released like 2 weeks ago.
Recently. Right. Yeah. But it looked like it was made in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely following along lines of like Ty West and all these like throwback type films. However, yeah. I mean, it reminded me so much of like a Fulci film. It's not even funny because the gore was so prevalent. Like in it, and
I was not expecting it either.
No, because it comes off until it starts happening. You're like, okay, so this is going to be straight up just a ghost movie.
Yeah,
and you know, ghost movies aren't normally gory. They're like, you know, ghosty.
Yeah, people get scared to death and stuff.
Yeah, but no, not in this film. People get
like sucked into closets.
Straight up, yeah. Sucked in the closets only to be eaten by weird entities and blood explodes everywhere. And like, I don't know. I really, really, really like thought it was a cool movie. It's definitely mm-hmm. one of the top ones I've seen this year. Mm-hmm. That said, I think that it's not something you can recommend even to like a lot of like modern horror fans because the budget is very low. the acting is pretty wooden in places. And I don't know. I mean, it just didn't come across like something that's going to appeal to the mainstream. But I think that the people that get it are going to love it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I think it takes probably a certain type of horror fan to really appreciate this movie, because it does feel like it was just straight from the 70s.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And
I mean, it's like, I tried to think about it because, like, I was watching it and I was like, God, this movie looks like it was just a re-release from something from like 1979, mm-hmm, or something like that. And I was trying to think about what factors to me are influencing that. Well, for one, you know, it straight up just looks like film. I know it probably wasn't, because there's no way on a very small budget they shot on film.
Yeah.
Right. So it's probably like After Effects or whatever. But then I thought about it. All the actors, right? The main characters are older, you know, and you don't see that in a lot of like more modern films and a lot of more modern horror films anyway. You know, it's all about catching like the young crowd.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And these people were like middle-aged, you know?
Yeah, there was like a few young people that weren't in it very long.
Yeah, and I feel like that was something that was really prevalent back then, was having actual adult protagonists and things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could be wrong, but I mean, that's what it feels like to me anyway. Like, if you look at a lot of the old movies.
Yeah, there's definitely been a push to incorporate like a WB aspect into stuff on most horror movies since Scream.
Yeah. And the music was also
very throwbacky.
Throwbacky too, like, because it wasn't like your scary sounds modern soundtrack, you know what I mean? It was much more, I don't know, thought out sort of thing.
No, like, I think if you had thrown this, I don't even know what the budget is. I would estimate it to be roughly a quarter of a million. But like, if they had given this a budget, there's no way this wouldn't have been a big hit at the box office. However, they would have had to change some of the things. And I couldn't tell really if, like, did you feel like the acting was wooden in places? Because
maybe a little, but I don't know. I felt like it was still just, I think maybe it was on purpose.
Well, I couldn't read it if... Okay, so this... we haven't even given really a broader synopsis of the characters at all. The characters... It's a husband and a wife move into this house after the recent death of their son.
Yeah. Did he died in it?
No.
It was... Oh, no, it was like a fishing accident or whatever, right?
No, it was a car wreck.
Yes, that's what I meant.
It's a car wreck while he was fishing thing in the house.
Yeah.
So, anyway, no,
he's fishing out his car window.
Yeah. Fishing for tang. by revving that engine. No, anyway. No, like, he was a, like, so they're, like, going through grief. However, their family dynamic stilted at best. Like,
yeah,
it's like the dad is just like almost kind of resentful about any mention of the son. And
the first thing he does whenever he goes to, like, they drop off their bags and he's like, well, I'm going to go into town later. And then it shows like the next scene he's drinking at the bar.
Yeah, they drank a lot in this movie, like a lot. He, like, there was a point where they're just kind of bored in at the house and he's like, what do you think? Whiskey? I'm like, damn. Like, you're just chilling on, you're like 60 years old on a Thursday night. You're just hitting up the whiskey pretty hard. I mean, I guess that's normal, but
maybe that's what you do after you retire.
Yeah.
Just whiskey.
So it's like the father coped with it by drinking and the mom coped with it by like drinking and actually coping with it, you know, like she was going through something. The other thing is, so they're going, you know, dealing with this new house, and these people show up and they're like, you know, the house needs a family. Did you happen to note what?
Yeah, that would have been the weirdest, like, welcome to the neighborhood conversation.
Yeah,
anyone has ever had.
Well, she handed that note to the guy, but if you mm-hmm. notice in that shot, she doesn't shake his hand. She shakes the wife's hand, and then he's like, "Huh," and opens the note. Anyway, I rewound it twice. I couldn't find okay. where she touched the father at all. But anyway, but I don't know, like. I would get the hell out right then. If anyone comes in my house brand new and like, this house needs a family, get out. Eh, I'm done. Pretty much done with yeah. it right then and there.
What if they didn't have an out clause in their, like, you know, home ownership contract or whatever? They'd just be out of money. I'm just saying.
I think if it's like, you know, if there are straight up like ghosts that have already attacked a handyman around the house and if creepy people come to my house tomorrow and they're like, this house needs a family, get out. I'm getting out. Like, sorry, Wells Fargo. I'm not paying my house note. Like, I'm just leaving. So anyway.
Yeah.
That's about it.
But so how much do you want to spoil?
I don't really know that there's a whole lot to spoil. I mean,
I have one question.
Yeah.
So, were the ghosts good guys?
Well, I think they were misguided bad guys. I mean, misguided good guys.
I was thinking ghost anti-heroes, like the Punisher.
There are things in this film, yeah, pretty much. There are things in this film that aren't clear, like very, very murky at a few points. Mm-hmm. One, you're not sure what entity this is. It's just something evil, and it's an old entity.
It's neat looking, though, because it's like lava people, almost. Because, I mean, they're like burned or whatever, but they've got like glowing red under there. And it was all practical effects, right?
It looked like it, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I had a few notes on it, which is odd for me.
Yeah.
Actually
wrote stuff down.
Yeah. One of which, who gave them the note?
Okay, that one's been covered. Yeah.
No,
okay,
their family dynamic screwed. The husband uh-huh. was super judgmental at the friend for a straight up like full on alcoholic. Super judgmental at yeah. the friend smoking weed. Like,
yeah,
and anything. Like, and I just said it reminded me of that House of the Devil is seen through Fulci's eyes, where the creature effects are more promising than anything else. And it's as if they didn't discount the intelligence in the of the audience and over explain, but also didn't. And then I quit writing. So anyway, so also didn't do some other things. But yeah, they definitely didn't over explain the plot or anything. You just kind of experienced it almost as the people experienced it, with a tiny bit of backstory from various people of the town that whose yeah. best interest is to get this family killed in this house.
Yeah.
So
it seemed like, you know, because it was, they were sacrificing basically the people in the house to some sort of, you know, great old one type thing.
Yeah, it was very Lovecraftian. Also, they mentioned, I think,
Essex.
Yeah, Essex County, County or something.
Yeah, because yeah. it was in Massachusetts.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, it was in Massachusetts. At least,
I think so, because at the end, whenever it's showing all the newspaper clippings, there was a few from a Boston newspaper.
Okay.
And stuff. And so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So really. So every 30 years, the house, whatever evil that lies in the house, comes to collect, and if it's not satiated, it's going to, you know, blow up, like it's going to unleash the evil on the town. So yeah. really, it's Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
And
which was also very Lovecraftian.
Yeah.
For that reason.
And it, I don't know, like. I really, really liked it. I thought it was cool. I would recommend it to any fan of Fulci, anyone that's tired of things that, you know, just aren't, like, dumb movies, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like jump scares and stuff like that. But I do...
There was, like, one.
Oh, there's a few, but I mean, it doesn't rely solely on jump scares. You know,
I know, like whenever the ghost first started appearing, they were to me actually pretty creepy because they were just shadow people.
Yeah, they looked straight up.
And you just saw them in the
by Fulci. Like they looked exactly like a lot with like the super light eyes and the craziness. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you would just see like shadows in the back of scenes and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was great. I liked it.
Yeah, I really, really liked it. I don't think it was scary. And
no, it wasn't scary.
And I think that that's kind of what was lacking in it. You know, for a horror film, and I think this is actually certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. I could be wrong, but I think it's hovering at like mid-70s. For a ghost film, you know, generally those are the creepier ones. Slashers are the gorier and not really scary so much as like a whodunit. But on this is like not a whodunit because the ghosts are straight up behind all of it. And they're also not really scary because they're going to murder you, not scare you to death. You know, so it's just like...
Yeah, just straight up murder.
Yeah, but I don't know. So what would you give it out of 5?
I'd say at least 4.
Really?
Yeah.
Even in my notes, I put a 4 out of 5. I'm not going to change. And those were written right after. So 4 out of 5.
It's got a 92 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow. Okay. So much higher than I thought. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And also Larry Fessenden was awesome in this movie. The
one who looked like a young Jack Nicholson from The Shining.
Would you call him young? Because he's straight up in his 50s.
Well, young compared to Jack Nicholson now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
he was good too.
Why is he not in like every movie? Like he's in a few as just a character actor, and I know he's a really good director, but like he really should get a lot more work as an actor because he's a good character actor. And there's a scene in the film when he starts becoming possessed that worked really well for me. Like I was like, holy crap, this guy's even cooler than I thought. Like,
and that was after I saw him in a kimono smoking pot.
Yeah, you don't get cooler than that. Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, I'm gonna say 4 out of 5. Definitely check this out. So you got anything else to add?
No, I thought it was really good.
All right,
I was impressed.
All right, well, we will be back.
And this is only like this director's like second thing he's directed.
Oh, really? Right? What? I'm sorry. What else has he directed?
I mean, he's done a lot of other production and stuff.
Yeah, I forget who he was. Is it Eli Roth Productions that he's heavily involved with? He's heavily involved with someone. And I can't remember who it is.
Because he's like produced like ABCs of Death 2, apparently Graceland.
What is that?
I have no idea. I thought that was
I thought that'd be some bullshit you'd be into, Craig.
it's a crime thriller. It sounded familiar.
Hmm.
Anyway, you know, a bunch of like horror movies and stuff, and then this and International Playboy's first movie, Ghouls Gone Wild, in 2004.
Perfect.
Was the only other movie he's actually directed.
Hmm. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
it's good stuff.
He did a great job on this, so.
Okay. Cool. Right. 4 out of 5.
All right, yeah. All right, we'll be back with our review of Vincent V. Cava's Just a Little Terrible. All right, we're back. That was TSOL with the song Terrible People. You can find that on the album Disappear. If you find it on like the greatest hits or anything like that, it's a different version. I think Disappear is the only one that has the good, the best version of it. But anyway, so like, I don't know. It's weird. Like they re-recorded their songs for our greatest hits, you know, so it just seems like so they could get out of the label, but also capitalize on their hits.
That's usually what greatest hits are for.
What, to re-record them?
To get out of record contracts.
Yeah. Well, no. This is like on a different label. Like it wasn't burning up one. So, but their label probably, I believe, well, you know what happened? They were on like four different labels. So like, I don't know, with the majority coming out on Nitro. But anyway, so they re-recorded it, but his voice had changed and it wasn't as good. So anyway,
I kind of like that though, like re-recording all the greatest hits instead of just a comp album.
Yeah, I think it's cool because you can get better
then
production.
The quality is the same, you know, because the quality is the same. Because especially like TSOL and stuff, whenever you get like really really old stuff, would be much different quality, like recording wise, than newer stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like that idea.
I do too.
Okay.
Good. Then we agree. Anyway.
We should have a TSOL podcast.
I thought you were going to say we should record a Junkie's Greatest Hits. Junkie's Greatest Hit.
Yeah. Just one song.
And it's a cover.
It's Gangster's Paradise.
Yeah. Okay. So Vincent V. Cava's
Just a Little Terrible.
So, really, this is a collection of short stories, but unlike a few times when, you know, spoiler alert, may have been a cop-out for us just to cover one short story in Dead Clown Barbecue, we got the whole book this time. So, anyway.
Which was still pretty short.
Super short. And it's also very free on Kindle.
Yeah. So, it's 16, I think. Short stories, like flash fiction short stories, like under 1,000 word short stories.
Yeah, but not all of them were under 1,000 word.
Yeah, some of them were a few pages long. Some of them were half a page.
There was one that was like 10 pages, right? When that carnival one?
It was like five.
Yeah. But no, it was, I don't know. I would say...
Go ahead. You were saying what?
For me, well, I think with this, since we're trying to do all of them, we're not going to give a synopsis of all of them. Like, I would say that the highlights for me was the Freak Show.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. To Make an Omelet.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
And, I don't know, man. Yeah, just maybe those.
No, I mean, as a whole.
Oh, and No More Sins. That was cool.
Which one was that?
Where the super religious girl got pregnant.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. No, I liked all of them, probably.
No, I did too. I just think some of them burned bright.
There were some that were a little, like, I guess, cliche, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know. Do you want to just like pick a couple of them?
Sure, whatever.
Right out the gate, I actually really liked the first one.
That was the
schizo
bird
one.
Woman or whatever.
Yeah.
What was her? Yeah, Bird Woman. Wow. Anyway.
Yeah, that was her name. It was Bird Woman.
Yeah, I thought that was good. And you know, it actually is in canon with something that happened on, I mean, I don't know if it's in canon, but it's very reminiscent to one of the accounts in The Nightmare, that documentary that I filmed, or that I filmed.
That you
filmed? You remember when I made a documentary real quietly? No, that I reviewed a couple of weeks ago on our website. Like, yep.
What website is that again?
Oh, bmoviesandebooks.com. The only source that matters.
That's not our title.
No, we have no title.
No. I've just been putting like reviews and podcasts.
I think that's the better. But anyway, no. Yeah, I like that one too. That was cool. And at that point, actually, for some reason, during that, I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be a kid's book. I totally did. I thought that it was going to be like Goosebumpsy. Because that one...
Yeah, it was probably that line about the stench of rotting flesh raping his nostrils. Yeah, I bet that was the kid's part that you were thinking of.
Yeah. No. I don't know what's wrong with me. This is why every one of my attempts to write kids anything gets really jacked. No, I really thought that this was going to be... I was like, oh, I didn't know this was a kid's book after reading it. And so, anyway. But, yeah, I like that one. That was good. It was nice for the whole family. No, it was really cool. Like, this guy is I haven't read anything else by him. In fact, I've never heard of him until this.
No, me neither.
And... he's a really good writer. Like, I thought he was very, especially on the darker stuff. I don't know if that's what I gravitated toward or if he wrote it better, but in any event, there's a few of these that are kind of humorous. And to me, those were the low spots in the collection.
Like I would say the lowest one was like, for me anyway, was probably the Gravedigger one.
Gravedigger.
I don't know why. The one about the guy digging graves.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but it was like so short.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I agree. I really liked his overall style, and I do think he had a he's very effective at also capturing other styles and making them feel like different from one another. Mm-hmm. You know, a few of them were written completely differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first person ones. Pretty much everything that was in first person really had its own character and feel to it,
mm-hmm.
you know, as opposed to the ones that were in third.
Yeah. But
those all had like a consistent style, but it was good.
Yeah. To me, the low light of this was A Novice Killer. I couldn't have liked that one less. One where the guy
killed. Oh, yeah. That one was.
I don't even get the ending. Like, light a match. She fucking farted or what?
he was pooping.
Oh, okay.
He was pooping for half the story.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, that one was definitely the low point. Because up to there,
yeah, I guess without telling much, like, oh, he was pooping. Like, we're not really selling this well.
Spoiler alert.
If you're a fan of poop stories. No. No,
but I feel like, you know, the first, because that one's number 8 out of 16, so the middle,
mm-hmm.
you know, so by that point, I was already hooked because the first few of them were
really,
really
good. Yeah.
I think he, as far as the order goes, he probably picked a, you know, the best ones to start off with. Although the end got really
strong. Yeah, it just kind of dipped in the middle.
So just dipped in the middle, which, you know, is the way you do an album, right? You hook people with the beginning and then keep them at the end.
Yeah, you throw a ballad at the end.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, by that point, you know, I was reading it and my wife was next to me and I'm like, this is damn good, you know? And then I got to that one and I'm like, oh. But then it got better again.
But no matter who writes, like, there's always going to be... You know, the quality is going to be inconsistent. Like, I don't know anyone that puts out, especially in short stories, nothing but five-star stuff.
No, I think what A Novice Killer had against it was one of the ones in first person, and I didn't like the character. You know, like the way he thought and everything like that, it was just kind of annoying.
To me, it seemed like... okay, I know we've even made jokes about this, about how much Jeff Strand stuff has been copied or how much has been covered on this podcast. But I mean, I am a huge, Jeff Strand fan, but
really,
but he's got where he'll write dark, he'll write serial killers, he'll write whatever. And then he just writes wacky. And yeah, that one, it seemed almost like he was trying to emulate Strand's style and the or wacky, just be the wacky over the irreverent top. Like, yeah, you know, I killed her, but what else could I do? You know, like, come on. Yeah. Dude. Like, so anyway, I just didn't, it was off putting, not because it wasn't Strand, but because it wasn't as good as the other ones. But in no way should that deter anyone from getting this.
No, like,
this
because so even good. That, even that one's like 3 pages.
Yeah.
You know, so even if you hate it, well, A, you can just skip it and nothing's going to, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Or B, it'll be over real quick.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. I don't know.
But
I mean, if you like poop jokes, then maybe you'd like it. Who knows?
Okay. I'm telling you, dude, I tried, like, it, one, it was just crazy late whenever I read that. And two, it was also like, I didn't like it. So I reread the last 2 pages twice and I was like, I don't get it. Whatever. I'm moving on.
This is just too over my head.
Yeah, just, I don't understand highbrow humor.
It's a complicated plot.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, there's something really for everyone in this collection of short stories. You know, there's monster stuff. There's zombie things. There's just straight up murderers and, you know, supernatural things and then time travel even for one of them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, unless you want to just go through the entire list of them.
No, I don't think that we really need to. But I do think that he was, you know, just judging from a commercial standpoint, okay, he showcased all his different styles. Mm-hmm. He gave you a sample of all of them and it was free. From a commercial standpoint, everything other than the cover was great. Like, but... and I definitely, I'd love to cover something by him because I've never heard of this guy before and it was good, like really, really good. So,
yeah, no, I agree. Everything, you know, I actually enjoyed his writing style too, because there was a lot of, description, but not like overly descriptive. You know, it wasn't super flowery, but there were certain things that, like, little details that he would say that really kind of gave you a background on these characters without being overexposed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was the one about the sheriff finding the chick who hobbled out of the woods because she was being chased by a slasher.
Which was definitely just a variation on an urban legend, but okay.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But there was a line that I highlighted where it's like, the sheriff's name is Riley, right? And it says, like, Riley squinted, dozens of deep, cavernous lines mm-hmm. bunched up around his eyes as he studied the girl's face. So it's like, right there, you know he's old mm-hmm. or older, seen a lot of stuff on the job sort of deal. And it's like, there's no mention of any of his backstory or anything, but from that one line, you have a feel of who the character is.
And he is Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a lot of things like that, where there's one or two really well-placed lines that give you all you really need to know about these characters and actually make them pretty developed for, you know, things that are supposed to be under 1,000 words.
So,
at least that's what I got out of it. I don't know.
No, I really, really liked it. I thought it was great. I don't really know how to expand upon just that. No, I mean, highly recommend it. It was very well written. And yeah, I think keeping the details to a minimum, but while only providing the ones necessary to establish character setting and or establish characters setting and plot, you know, that's really all you need in flash fiction. He did it well.
Yeah, exactly. It was... it was efficient.
Yeah, I mean, you really don't need a lot. One thing I noticed that he didn't do that's largely only, not only, but mostly, you know, in novels, is there wasn't a lot of character movement or description on how they were holding themselves, you know, their head was tilted or any of that. So he kind of got rid of a lot of that. And
stage direction type things.
Yep, stage direction. And, you know, you don't need to know the curtains on the house or any of that, like, unless they play into the plot. And so he didn't go into any of that, which was great. I want to definitely, as soon as I got done with this, I immediately went to his Facebook page and gave him a like, because anything that he checks out, you know, like anything that he writes, I definitely want to check out from here on out. So, he made his way unlikely into, like, because I don't know, I'm pretty critical on who makes my short list of writers that I want to follow. Like,
so it's Jeff Strand.
Jeff Strand is the man. But yeah, he definitely piqued my interest, and it's something that I really, really enjoyed. So,
yeah, I think this right here was like sort of like really good previews.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, oh, I want to read more from this guy because of this book.
Yep. So yeah, check it out. I mean, it's free on Kindle.
Yeah, there's really no reason not to. Even though it's like 16 short stories, it's really quick read.
Yeah, I mean, in easily under an hour, you can check it all out. Or right at an hour. Or over an hour. Who cares? Like, so what if it took me 10 days to read it?
One a day for 16 days.
Anyway, I'm not making fun of illiteracy. All right. Yeah, we got to go. Make sure and check out our group on Facebook, B-Movies and
E-Books. It's a page. There's a group that you made, and then there's an actual page.
Damn it. Okay, make sure and check out my group. The page. Yeah,
there is nothing that happens in that group.
There's one member, me.
Isn't it a closed group, too?
Yeah. I can't delete it. I've tried. Because somehow I'm not an admin. So anyway.
So Facebook page. It's just facebook.com/ BNEpod.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter @ BNEpod. You can go to BNEpod.com.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of content on there as far as, like, you know, comics and video games that we don't cover. You know, Rodney's got you covered on the video games. And, and definitely check out our master feed. What else? What all are we promoting? That and Long Box Small Talk. Check them out later this week. They're going to be fun, you know, like more than anything. I think that anyone that's interested in comics, whereas we kind of, like, we'll talk about comics, but our focus is on movies and books. They're going to spill over into movies. But they're going to be much more a comics oriented podcast, and definitely worth your time. So,
anyway. Yeah.
All right. Well, you good?
I'm totally fine.
The podcast you just heard is part of the B&E Network, brought to you by BMoviesandEbooks.com.